Blog Talk Radio.
Kicking with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer radio show. Stogies and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That translates to 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, Stogies and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Today is May 23rd, 8:04 a.m., 59 degrees and cloudy here in San Diego, California. We're broadcasting live from WBEST Chula Vista, California, WBS Chula Vista, California. Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and talk about the sport he or she loves the most. We talk about horse racing, dog racing, camel racing, pie eating contests, hot dog eating contests, anything that comes across the monitor as a sport. We talk a lot about the NFL because this is a football talk show. We talk a lot about the NBA, NHL, MLB, and NCAA men's and women's sports. All right, let's get off into it, people. thank you for tuning in. Thank you if you're going to stream this show later. Today's topic is Nugget Said No. The host of the Bay Professional Armchair Quarterbacks regarding the sports they love the most. Topics to include but not limited to will be Denver Nuggets versus Los Angeles Lakers and scores and breaking news from NBA, NHL, MLB, and NCAA baseball and softball. All right, let's get off into it. Nugget Said No. The big politician, I like to call him, Nikola Jokic. That's my new name for him, the big politician. He said no. He told LeBron James, you guys are already at home. Go ahead on and just go ahead on and pack it in. Go ahead, we're going to go ahead and do you a favor. Since you won't pack it in, we're going to do you a favor and go and send you home. Y'all already here. All you got to do is go clean your locker out, do your press conference, and go to your apartment. That's it. Y'all already at home. We're already in L.A. I'm going to do y'all a big favor. I'm going to put you out your misery and go ahead on and let you go home, let you get some rest for next year. The Denver Nuggets and Nikola Jokic said no. The Denver Nuggets and Jamal Murray said no. The Denver Nuggets and the big duo of Jokic and Murray said no to LeBron James and Anthony Davis last night. The Denver Nuggets said no, people. That's saying a lot. When the great, I tell you all the time on the show, when the great ones say no, when the great ones say no, sometimes that just is what it is. When they say no and they step up and say, hey, you know what? When they say, you know what? You guys got to go home. You can't win this time. That's what the great ones mean. And right now, it was great on great last night. LeBron James, leading scorer in NBA history. God knows who will ever catch him, if they ever do. Then you have doggone Nikola Jokic, two-time MVP, could have been three-time MVP this year. But they gave it to Joel Embiid. Not to say Joel didn't deserve it as well. But all I'm saying, that guy right there could have easily been a three-time MVP this year. The two-time MVP told LeBron James, no. He said, I know you're great. I know you want to get back to the chip. I know you want to get back to that level of stardom after the last couple of years, after y'all won the first bubble, the bubble title. You know, y'all been kind of struggling trying to get back deep in the playoffs. Due to injury and whatever else, injuries, roster chemistry, all kind of different stuff. You know, coaching changes, just all kind of different things that has plagued this team. But at the end of the day, understand one thing. At the end of the day, Nikola Jokic said, no, you guys got to go home. This is our time. We need this. The Denver fans need this. They haven't had a title since their inception into the NBA. I believe they had a title back in the 60s, 70s, somewhere up in there with the ABA, American Basketball Association, the red, white, and blue ball, for those of you who don't know what the ABA was. That league produced the Indiana Pacers, and it also produced the Denver Nuggets, the now Brooklyn Nets, but at the time they were the New Jersey Nets. And I think those were the three that got taken in to the NBA once they made the ABA agree to fold and stop competing with them. They took those three teams from the ABA. And, yes, Denver was one of them. The Denver Nuggets were one of them. Nikola Jokic said last night that the Denver fans are due a title run at least. They're due a title appearance. In the finals, they do a NBA finals appearance, a NBA title run. They're due one. You guys can't go this time. You guys have had your chance. You guys have been in the limelight. You guys are in Hollywood. We're not in Hollywood. It's so bad that you know the Denver franchise, they have to play with a chip on their shoulder the whole season. Why did they have to do that? Because why? Because everybody was counting them out. They ain't got a chance of beating the Lakers. The Lakers, the number one defense in the NBA. LeBron James is high off of his scoring title. Anthony Davis is back playing solid minutes. He's hanging in there. He's not checking out due to any kind of minor injuries or major injuries, whatever, however you want to look at it. Excuse me, people. I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry I had to sneeze on there. You know how when you have to sneeze, it's taking a long time to come out. That's why I said excuse me, because I need to take a little pause and get that out. But anyway, we got a lot of pollen and dust flying around here, and San Diego has been pretty windy. Pollen is everywhere, so excuse me if I sneeze or cough on air, because it's just a lot of nature and effect outside in the elements. But anyway, with that being said, going back, the Denver Nuggets had to face, criticism. People counted them out, and they kind of played with a chip on their shoulder. I think their coach, Mike Malone, he was saying it best, you know, everybody's got us counting out. The narrative is the Lakers making adjustments. Not how well Nikola Jokic had been playing, not how well Jamal Murray been playing. They're talking about the adjustments that the Lakers are going to make. It was all about, the narrative was all about the Lakers and Hollywood. It was just like, you know, they were the B-side. They're the number one seed, but like in boxing, they got this term called A-side, B-side. They say that you're the B-side. You know, they treated the Denver Nuggets like they're the B-side in this competition, in this series. And that easily can happen, because we're talking about Hollywood. We're talking about the stars. We're talking about the lights, camera action. You know, this Hollywood. Hooray for Hollywood. Then you got the Denver Nuggets, gold miners. Gold miners, mountain goats, and donkey trails. All this type of stuff. You know, that's why, you know, one of the experts on the screen was saying that, he wasn't trying to count Denver out, but he definitely wasn't trying to go to Denver for the finals. He wanted to be in L.A. and Miami. Not Denver and Boston. He wanted to be in L.A. and Miami. Well, we'll see if he's going to get his wish tonight. Everybody probably know the popular show host in mainstream media that I'm talking about. He was saying that he'd like to go to Miami South Beach, and he'd like to be in L.A. So he might get his wish. He might get his wish, depending on as far as like going to Miami, but he definitely ain't going to L.A. He's going to Miami possibly tonight if Jimmy Butler can take care of, go ahead and wrap up Jason Tatum, Smart, and Brown. If Jimmy Butler can do that, Jimmy Butler, his supporting cast, can take care of business. This particular host I'm talking about, he could possibly be in Miami, in South Beach, but L.A. is out. He's had to change his flight plans, because he ain't going to be kicking it in L.A. unless he just go in the offseason. But as far as the finals, calling the game in L.A., that's over with. So, anyway, yeah, they're talking about A.D. across the monitor right now. It's all eyes on A.D., Nuggets beat Lakers 113-111. Denver wins the series 4-0. Anthony Davis, 21 points, 14 rebounds, 3 blocks in game 4. Said the Lakers trade AD or build around him. Anthony Davis, 21 points, 14 rebounds, 3 blocks in game 4. If Anthony Davis, then who? If not Anthony Davis, then who? That's the question I have for the critics. That's the question I have for all the writers and mainstream media, because this is coming across the monitor. Again, Nuggets beat the Lakers 113-111. Denver wins the series 4-0. Anthony Davis, 21 points last night, 14 rebounds, 3 blocks in game 4. That's a solid performance. Should the Lakers trade AD or build around him? The problem is AD in a game like that needed 40 points. AD himself needed 40 points. I didn't say LeBron James. I said AD himself needed 40 points. LeBron James put up 40 anyway. AD needed to put up 40 points. So I'm just befuddled about why he couldn't get up 40 points against a Denver defense that really, to me, didn't come alive until the last ticks of the game, which actually a defensive stand won in the game. Denver's not known for his defense, people. They're known for their offense. So Anthony Davis putting up stuff like 21 points. That's them solid numbers. He had 14 rebounds. But he needed to put another 20 points up. When I think of AD, how dominant offensively he is, he's just like Jokic. Him and Jokic are similar in a whole lot of ways, except AD is a little bit better defensively than me. Jokic is not what I know is not known to me for being a defender, but Davis can play defense. He had 14 rebounds, 3 block shots in the game. So, I mean, he really just needed, but offensively, he needed to be a bit more. Offensively, he needed to be a bit more. I don't know what the reason why that was, but it is what it is. They didn't win it. They're at home. But they're trying to see if the Lakers should trade or build around AD. That's hard for me to say. It's just depending on what type of style of basketball they're trying to play. You're trying to pound the ball inside, build around AD. Perimeter shooting, he can do that too. The problem with AD is he stays hurt so much, and, you know, he checks in and out of games when you're talking about a series. Like, okay, you know, he might be hot one game, might be hot two games. Then, you know, he might be cold for three games, or he might have injuries for three games or whatnot. It's just he's what I'm trying to say is, people, the best way I can explain AD, he's a great basketball talent, great basketball player, but what is his availability? Your best ability is what? Your availability. That's what they've been saying as a reason. Your best ability is your availability. Are you available to compete night in and night out? Like Russell Westbrook. You hardly ever see Russell Westbrook set out. I don't know what his training regimen is. I don't know what his diet regimen is, but you rarely ever hear him saying that, I can't go, or I can't try to give it a go. You hardly ever hear him say that. Talking about Russell Westbrook, the player that they traded off to the Los Angeles, to the Utah Jazz, and then he wound up playing in L.A. with the Clippers. And did a hell of a job in the playoffs trying to anchor that team. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you should trade AD. I mean, I don't want to say trade him. I like him in L.A. I definitely like him in L.A. with LeBron James. To be honest with you, though, I don't think if LeBron James decides to retire, AD is not going to lead that team to a championship. He's not going to be able to do it by himself. They're going to have to get him a lot of help. And I don't think he can be the guy. You know, like when he was in New Orleans, he played great in New Orleans as well. But when you're talking about can he be the guy, I don't know if he could be the guy. I don't know if he could be the guy in, you know, in L.A. It's like, hey, I'm the number one option. This is my team. I'm going to lead this team. Because, again, when you're a leader, you got to be available. Your troops can't be trusting you. And you're your troops can't be trusting you. And every time they look up, you're on the mend. You're laid up somewhere. It just can't happen like that. It's almost kind of like when you're dealing with, like, Chris Paul, the Chris Paul syndrome. Chris Paul tries his butt off, but for some reason, as he's getting older, his body starts to break down. And I think he has that nagging groin injury around playoff time every year. He has that nagging groin injury. So when your leader is not available and other people got to step up and play, it's kind of hard year in and year out. And Davis has been kind of like injured for the most part year in and year out, if I'm correct. I think since the bubble, since they won that title. But, you know, it's all about these injuries. But like I said, I don't think that AD is your best option to say, hey, he's the number one. AD is a solid number two guy. You got to have a leader up in there. If they get a leader in there to play along with AD, they can, and some shooters, that's what the Lakers really need, shooters. They need those Derek Fisher type of players like back in the day. They need those type of players, like a Damian Lillard. That's who I'd be going after. Get Damian Lillard on the court with AD, and we might have something. because Damian Lillard, he's not a guy that stays hurt too much. I know he's been hurt before, but I don't think he's just, like, been hurt, like, you know, constantly little nagging injuries keeping him out. I think he's been out because of real stuff. And, I mean, all these guys get hurt. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking AD and nobody else for getting hurt because it's a physical game. You're getting bumped around. It's a lot of torque and pressure on those knees and back. I get it. A lot of grueling rehab. And if anybody's ever done rehab, you know rehab is not easy because I've done rehab, and rehab is not an easy thing to do. You're working out. It is a workout. It's a gym workout about twice a week. So if you're thinking that you're going to rehab just to sit around and not work, forget that. Unless you got a hand injury, and that in itself probably comes with a bit of pressure. So these guys, I understand why their bodies break down. The grueling rehab, the grueling practices, the grueling training in the off season. You mean you're pretty much training year round if you're trying to be a professional basketball player. That's a lot of running. Me as a professional rec league basketball player, I played pro rec league basketball back in the day when I was in the military. And, you know, it was, you know, when I first got on the basketball court, I hadn't played basketball in a couple years. And I know at least, well, I hadn't played basketball in some years. I'll put it like that, probably since at that time I probably hadn't played in like about 4 years consistently. When I first got in the military, I was playing a lot because we had a basketball goal outside of my barracks. We used to just always be out there shooting ball, especially in the summertime. We always shoot hoop, you know, check out a basketball, go out there, and we all in the barracks shooting hoop. And it was a pretty fun time. But at the same time, going back to what I was saying, you know, when I got back out and started playing basketball, I noticed that, you know, my wind was – and I was boxing at the time – but my wind was nowhere where it needed to be for basketball. I used basketball to get in shape for boxing because it was so much running, sprint, you know. So what I'm saying about the training regimen, them guys got to be working out training during the off season. They got to be working out and training during the off season because if they don't do that, they'll come in the camp out of shape. And I think that's what they're saying, the knock been on Anthony Davis is him coming into camp, you know, not in shape. Diet ain't right, won't work out in the offseason. Then pretty much got to play his way into shape, you know, play his way into shape in training camp. And then continue to play his way in shape in the season, at the beginning part of the season. A lot of people say that's what leads to a lot of his injuries, not having his body prepared physically and diet wise. But I don't know. I don't know what they're gonna do. But they're saying on the monitor now, key free agents. Notable Laker free agents, Hachimura, Reeves, Russell and Schroeder. Who should Lakers prioritize this off season? Reeves definitely gotta stay. Russell can go. Schroeder can go. Hachimura, he can stay. Yeah, I think he has upside. Hachimura has upside. Young man played at Gonzaga. I think he played overall pretty well, and he got good size. He played overall pretty well in the series, and he got good size. Hachimura can stay. Reeves can stay. Schroeder, send him on. Let him sign somewhere. He'll find a home or be overseas playing. But I think he'll find a home somewhere. D'Lo, he'll land somewhere. He'll land somewhere. Somebody will pick him up. They had a lot to say about D'Lo, say that he just wasn't getting it done. I don't know. I don't know what his situation was, but the times I really paid attention to him, he was sinking some shots. But I guess it just wasn't consistent enough. They probably needed him to be more like Reeves. But I don't think that Reeves and D'Lo is on the court at the same time, if I'm correct. I don't think they played both of them at the same time. I think that D'Lo was starting and then Reeves was coming off the bench. But I think they wound up benching D'Lo and just go ahead on starting Reeves, which made sense. Yeah, it's crazy. I think next they'll probably be talking on the monitor about Darwin Ham. Should they let Ham go? All that type of stuff. LeBron being swept hurt him in the GOAT conversation against MJ. Is LeBron being swept is hurting him in the greatest of all time conversation against Michael Jordan? I'm going to be honest with y'all people. As far as the greatest basketball player of all time, I roll with Michael Jordan. I roll with Michael Jordan because that was our all-time great when I was a little boy. Ever since I was about in the sixth grade, it was all about Michael Jordan. Air Jordan. His shoe, his brand, his endorsements. It was always about Michael Jordan. We're talking about a man who was in Michael Jackson's video, black or white, if I'm correct. We had he was talking about a star of that magnitude in Michael Jackson's video where Michael Jackson is teaching MJ how to dance. So, I mean, you know, we're talking about Michael Jordan here, people. I roll with Michael Jordan as my GOAT. You know, ever since this conversation been going, like, no, it's Michael Jordan. He never lost the finals. But LeBron obviously went to more finals, but he didn't win as many. But when I saw LeBron James, number one, win the scoring title, I said, well, that's still not enough for me. That's still not enough for me because he got that scoring title because he plays a different type of game. He plays around the rim. He bully ball, truck guys. He could be like Shaq. You know, Shaq probably is one of the top 10 scorers in the league if I go and look at the notes because he played the same type of ball. If Shaq ain't top 10, I know he's top 20. Got to be top 20 because he plays around the rim. When you're a big man, you can put it in the cup. You know, you can score like that. LeBron James was that type of guy. He could score on the inside. Power forward, bully ball, there you go. He's going to get the ball in the hole. Head full of steam, you know. But the thing about it is, that still wasn't enough to knock Michael Jordan out of the GOAT conversation as being the greatest of all time. But what I've been looking at lately is the way that LeBron James, with this team that Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss put together, look at who he's playing with. Hachimura, he's role player. Reeves, role player. Russell, role player. Schroeder, role player. All these guys are role players. They're not stars. Vanderbilt or whoever the guy name is they brought in the free agency as well. Mo Bamba, who I've never even seen get on the basketball court this year. I don't know if he's injured or what. Then had to bring in Tristan Thompson. Now, mind you, out-of-shape Tristan Thompson, who probably had to play his way into shape at the last minute just to give him some minutes, that type of stuff. You know, coming off the bench. And to be honest, Tristan Thomas being in the game last night affected Denver tremendously because he came in with size and the knowledge of how to win the championship. I could tell came in the game, even though he looked a little bit out of shape. He looked like he had a little stomach on him, you know. Probably had thought, you know, getting his dad bod, as we like to say, because he'd been working in the studio. I mean, this man probably was in the studio with them, with the people on the monitor. I was in the studio doing some co-hosting on some of these sports talk shows, as recent as up to a month ago. But look, that's what I'm saying. Look at who LeBron James has to rely on. And then an AD that's kind of like in and out. You kind of like got to keep him motivated, keep him moving, keeping his head right, and pushing him to work through injuries and work through pain or whatever. Look at what LeBron James has had to work with, and then coming out of the seventh seed all the way to one series with the Denver Nuggets, the number one seed, to get back to the finals. He almost got back to the finals with him being the one star and a bunch of support players. Now, I'm not saying AD is not a star, but it's just like the way he kind of like is, you know, easily a walking 40-point game guy. And you can't come in with 21-point performances in these type of series. You got to be 38, 40, or above. You got to match. If LeBron put up 40, you got to put up 40. But if you're putting up 40 or 50, LeBron can do other things. That's just my opinion. You know, I'm a pro armchair quarterback, just like the rest of y'all that listen to my show. I'm a pro armchair quarterback, meaning – I'm not an expert at none of this. I never say I'm a trainer. I ain't a coach. I ain't a scout. I ain't none of that. But one thing I do know is dog. And LeBron James is a dog. Anthony Davis I don't consider him dog. I consider him talented. I don't consider him a dog, a beast. And when I say a dog, a beast, we talking about like a smart for the Celtics. That's a dog type of player. We talking about LeBron James. That's a dog type of player. I'm talking about a guy that's going to scrap it out. Gut. Russell Westbrook, a dog type of player. That's what I'm talking about when I say this guy's a dog. You know, but, if LeBron James is putting up 40 points, AD got to put up 40 points. Do they get rid of AD? I don't know. But with that being said, I'm going to try to get my number one sports contributor, DC, on the line and see if he can give me some insight on what's going on with this roster of the Lakers. And we're going to go into a quick station break. For those who are just tuning in, this is the Stogies and Bear Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Bear Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, that's WBEST, Chula Vista, California. Time on deck here is 8:31 a.m. It is 59 degrees Fahrenheit, mostly cloudy, here in San Diego, California. All right, we're going to take a quick station break, and we'll be right back. Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Today's topic is Nugget Said No. The hosts will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sports they love the most. Topics to include but not limited to would be the Denver Nuggets versus the Los Angeles Lakers. We've gotten into that and scores and breaking news from the NBA, NHL, MLB, and NCAA basketball. NCAA baseball and softball for the men's and women's. All right, we'll get off into some scores here shortly here. I was trying to get my number one sports contributor on the line, DC, trying to get him on the line. I text him. We'll see if he'll chime in here in the next 30 minutes or so. But he could be busy, but however, the show must go on. But they're saying right now on the monitor that Kyrie Irving is showing interest in joining the Lakers. Is Kyrie Irving the missing piece for the Lakers? I doubt it. I'm gonna put it like this here. It's possible because that's really what they need is a shooter. If they can keep AD, LeBron, and then bring in Kyrie Irving as a shooter, I think they'll be all right because LeBron and Kyrie can handle the defense along with Hachimura and Reeves. I think that'll be if you got LeBron, AD, Hachimura, Reeves, and you bring in Kyrie, I think that's a solid starting cast. And then you know some of the pieces that they have on the bench now that's coming in. You know, I think get some more defense, some more solid defenders, and maybe one more shooter coming off the bench. I think they'll be all right. So if you add Kyrie and then add two more shooters, two more pure shooters, and two shooters that can defend, not just shoot but defend. That's what they need. And I don't know who fits the bill for that. I don't know who out there they can get off the top of my head because there's so many players. You know, then they just had to draft, so I don't know who they can pull in that fits that mold. Maybe they strike a deal with the Minnesota Timberwolves to bring in a Anthony Edwards, who can get hot and who can defend. If I'm correct, maybe they bring in somebody like him. If you'd like to call in and debate me or correct me on anything that I'm saying, definitely call in Eric Cole 505-602-9687. Again, call in error code 515-602-9687, and you can definitely debate me or correct me about anything that I'm talking about right now. There's just a lot of stuff going on the monitor today. They're saying Kyrie joined forces back with LeBron James. I don't know. I don't know what'll work right now. At the same time, LeBron James is aging. I think, like I said, though, they had Reeves, ADS center, LeBron at power forward, Hachimura at small forward, and then Kyrie at shooting guard, point guard. I think that that's a winning combination. I think that's a winning combination. And, you know, plus LeBron James know how to bring the ball up. Reeves know how to bring the ball up, too, if I'm correct. So, I mean, I think that's a winning combination right there. That's a winning starting lineup. But what I'm noticing in the NBA, in the league, that it's not the starting lineup that can just continue to win. That's the problem in Phoenix. The great starting lineup with KD and the crew, KD, Booker, Paul, and all of this, that's a great starting lineup. But we have to look at it and say who's coming off the bench because guys got to get a rest. Like LeBron James put up 40 points, played till exhaustion the last two games. Played to near exhaustion the last two games. Whatever was hurting him, whatever was nagging him, his foot, his ankle, back, whatever, he played through it because he was trying not to let his team win. He was trying not to allow his team to lose, He was trying not to let his team lose. He did not want to allow his team to lose last night. LeBron James is playing to win, people. I don't care whatever everybody else is doing, that's whatever they were doing. But LeBron James last night was playing the game to win the game. They got on the monitor, the experts talking, they're talking on the monitor. Tatum and the Celtics look to extend Eastern Conference Finals at the Heat tonight. Chances that the Celtics keep the series alive in game four. I doubt it. I think Jimmy Butler and that crew, they're coming for blood. They're like, we got these guys on the ropes. We getting them out of here. They won their two games in Boston. They won their first game in Miami. They got one more game in Miami to win. They can win and be at home and not have to go back to Boston just to come back home and win again. I think that they're going to take care of business tonight so they can get rest. From what I'm hearing, you know, if they win tonight, they can get about 8 or 9 days worth of rest before the NBA Finals start. They get a good 8-9 days of rest and rehab and a little family time in. So I think that they're going to come out tonight to take care of business and put Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown along with Smart. I believe they're trying to put those guys away tonight. They're trying to put them away tonight. So I don't see them extending this lead. Again, they're saying Tatum and the Celtics look to extend Eastern Conference Finals at the Heat tonight. Chances that the Celtics keep the series alive in game four, I don't think they have a chance. I think that Jimmy Butler is coming for blood. I think Jimmy Butler is too – they can't stop him. And then Bam Adebayo is playing at a high level right now. Bam Adebayo is playing like AD should have been playing as far as the mentality, dog mentality. Bam Adebayo has a dog mentality. That's what I'm saying when you're comparing centers, AD, Adebayo. What's the difference? Talent-wise, AD at center position is probably the most talented center out there because he can defend and shoot. Right behind him is Jokic. But Jokic, you know, the way he scores is, you know, he does some tremendous things. The way he scores, he kind of like shoots like Dirk Nowitzki. He kind of does stuff like that. But defensively, no. AD, most talented center. But he don't have a dog mentality like a Bam Adebayo. So I say Bam Adebayo right along with Jimmy Butler, them guys in the supporting cast, them guys are going to be ready to put Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown up out of there. Tatum Brown is smart. They're probably going home tonight. I don't see Jimmy Butler letting this foot up off of their throats. He wants them out of there. And then we'll have a one and an eight seed in the final. I'm trying to see how that's going to look. I don't need this series with the Heat and the Celtics to go any farther. They've already said when you're down 3-0, no one has ever came back from a 3-0 deficit to win a series in the NBA. Never. It's never happened. I always go with mathematical statistics, and it makes sense. It just makes sense. You know, people. You know, when you're playing basketball and everything like that, it's all about momentum. You're trying to come down from a 3-0 hole. Heck, you start to doubt yourself. Is this the right roster? Do we got the right chemistry? Is this the right coach? Is this the right coach and the right team? I mean, you start to doubt yourself. Is doubt in the front office? Is doubt in the locker room? Is this doubt in the stands? Is this the right team? Are we even good enough? Should we even be here? Were we just hyped up and blow it up? You know, when I look at it, it's just you're coming down from 3-0. I mean, in Boston, they're down 3-0 is different from the Lakers being down 3-0. Boston being down 3-0 looks despondent. It looks, you know, depressing. The Lakers were trying to fight. They were trying to fight, but I think that the Celtics are getting criticism. Joe Mazzulla is getting criticism for basically benching all his players in the fourth quarter, I think that's how they lost by 30. Because, I mean, I was watching that game, but you know how it is when you're in and out, but that, you know, you're doing all kind of stuff, but I was watching it. But, you know, I really didn't take note that he had just pretty much sat all the guys out in the fourth quarter. I think I probably just started losing interest in that game because Jimmy Butler then was being so dominant in this series. But I had it on. I was looking at it back and forth. But when I saw the score, I'm like, these guys ain't going to win. They ain't coming back from this deficit. And I think I kind of like just lost interest, maybe start channel surfing. But the point I'm making is that the Lakers being down 3-0 looked totally different than the Boston Celtics being down 3-0. They're not looking good. So I'm not seeing them coming in. You know, I think they're going to come in. They're going to fight for a half. And if they don't just get all the way up on Jimmy Butler them, like Jimmy Butler them come in having an off night, and then the Tatum and Smart, they're shooting the ball very well, and they get up in the first half by 12, 15 points. If that doesn't happen, I don't think they got a shot. If it's, like, anywhere close going into halftime, even if the Celtics are up going into halftime, if it's close, and when I say close, I mean, like, 3 to 5 points, I don't see them winning that game tonight. I see Jimmy Butler just saying, you know what, I'm going to come out, I'm going to go ahead and put my foot on your throat, and I'm going to get you out of here. I'm just going to be honest. I'm just going to be real. But, yeah, you know, hopefully my number one sports contributor, D.C. in Maryland, can call me and add a little color to this conversation because, you know, I like to get a lot of the other pro armchair quarterbacks, sports contributors. He's my number one sports contributor to my topics. So I'm hoping that he'll call in because this is another historic day. We got one team gone, and we know who's going to the finals. One team's going to the finals, and we're just waiting on the next dance partner, and we'll hopefully have that next dance partner tonight. So I'm looking at the Heat because I don't want to see Boston in there because the way they played in the playoffs, I don't want to see them. I mean, even though the Lakers were down, I was like, okay, if the Lakers are going to fight, and I know with LeBron James, he's going to have them fighting to the last breath. That's what fight looks like, people, what LeBron James did last night. 38 years old, put up 40 points. I don't know how many blocks or rebounds he had, but that's what a dog mentality and a winning attitude looks like. Is LeBron James to be considered – is LeBron right to be considered retirement? That's what they got on the monitor. Is LeBron right to be considered retirement? James says reporters going forward with the game of basketball, I got a lot to think about. Yeah, I mean, he's right about thinking about retirement because at the end of the day, you ain't got a wall of men, four or five guys in front of you blocking. Whether you got the running back stepping up or however many go put on the line, to block for you as a quarterback, you got people in front of you. You got people protecting you. And if you were Tom Brady or older Tom Brady, that never was like a scrambler. You know, he never was a run pass option type of guy. He stays in the pocket to put the ball downfield. If you got a wall of talent in front of you that can let you just sit and stand back there and shoot that football down the field and pick people apart, you can have a long career. That's why offensive linemen in football are so important. And that's why offensive linemen at any level of pro football is hard to come by. They're very hard to come by. I do a lot of stuff for pro developmental leagues, and a lot of the offensive linemen after college, if they're not going to the NFL, they usually just hang it up. Some will go play in the pro indoor football league to still try to fight and try for an opportunity. But offensive linemen are very hard to find because all the good ones are usually in the NFL. All the good ones are usually in the NFL. And then, you know, so trying to get offensive linemen is hard, but if whoever Tom Brady's playing for or Aaron Rodgers is playing for, if they can keep the quarterback's uniform clean, the quarterback can continue to play for a long period of time. But LeBron James in basketball to me is a little bit different. You're constantly running, and that's pounding on that hardwood, the knees, those knees taking all that shot on the hardwood, people jumping, dunking. That's why when these guys get a little bit older, I noticed that they quit dunking so much because they're like, it's tearing my knees up. It's tearing my knees up. I got to learn how to shoot basketball. I can't be an athlete. That's what a lot of people saying Russell Wilson's problem is now is because he don't do all that dunking and stuff like that. Like he used to explode into the rim and stuff, but I think his game is still that way to a degree. But right now he's having to rely on people. He's having to rely on more shooting too, and that's what they're saying. He's not a strong shooter. So how long can you keep taking it to the hole, jumping up, coming down with force on your knees? When if you had another type of game, we could just stand on out at the perimeter, out on the wing, and just shoot shots. That might be easier because it ain't so much pressure on your knees, so you're not jumping. But basketball is just is one of those fluid sports. You're running, you're jumping, it's all these different movements, cutting and everything like that. It's probably hell on your knees. You know, like I said, I played pro rec league basketball, and that was competitive enough. But we had some good guys in that league. I'm talking about some guys that probably had some college experience and wound up just, you know, when college didn't work out, they wound up going to the military. But they kept their game, and then these we had something that, you know, programs in there called, like, all Marine, all Navy, all Air Force, all whatever your service branch was, when like an all-star team. That's your branch's all-star team. If you can make that all-star team, and you're talking about men and women that have played at universities like Liberty, wherever, big schools for basketball and stuff like that. People that came out of those schools and they said, yeah, I was a basketball player, but I wound up, you know, hurting myself, you know. But, you know, we've had all those type of players in our pro rec league level and at our local base. You know, those type of guys was playing guys like me to stay in shape. Just playing guys like me to keep their edge, so they, you know, didn't have to worry about getting in shape when they go to the military all-star finals. So, yeah, I mean, it's very, you know, it was a competitive league. But what I'm saying, all I'm saying is this: I've seen what good athletes look like at that level. And I've seen the effort that they had to put in on the court. So that's me looking at that up close. But we're talking about the NBA here. We're talking about the NBA, and you know, they're asking if LeBron James should hang it up. He's 38 years old, and how long can he continue to carry a team with no supporting cast? Where can he find a supporting cast that he can go and play and get a chip? Golden State? That'd probably be his best bet. But I'd have to say if he went there, we'd have to look at him like that's doing a weak move, because you know those are your arch enemies. Why go there? You know, I got this new thing that I'm telling myself, you know, build your own platform. Even though it's hard to build your own platform, I'd rather build my own platform than to go try to eat off another man's plate. This is where I'm at. Sometimes you got to put things on hold, build your own platform. I even seen, like, I do a lot of watching on the History Channel, and I'm saying this because it's relative to what we're talking about LeBron James retiring. Does he retire, or do he keep on trying to go after a chip by moving around from team to team? I think right now, him being with L.A., if they can get Kyrie, and I think he's a free agent anyway. I don't think Mark Cuban is trying to sign him to a max contract because him and Luka, for whatever reason, didn't work out well. They didn't work out well together. They seem like they work better with one sitting on the bench or one out hurt and the other one playing. That kind of turns into a disaster. They need to make it to the postseason. So that right there. I don't think Mark Cuban is going to try to keep them together. He's going to have to, you know, let that be Luka's team, and then, you know, hopefully they drafted well. So Kyrie's floating out there in free agency. LeBron James can go to Rob Pelinka and say, Rob, Genie, get Kyrie back in here. I need him back in there. I'm gonna tell you something else I'd like to see. I'd like to see them resign Tristan Thompson to like some kind of minimal deal to where it's satisfying to him to keep playing. Because I'm gonna tell you, when Tristan Thompson came in last night for whatever reason, I could see the chemistry between him and LeBron James that they had been down that road before. I seen it, and he came in kind of like in some traffic a little bit too. You know, I seen his talent. I seen his talent from back in the day when him and LeBron played, and like it kind of disrupted Denver for a minute. I was like, whoa, because he disrupted them by him being in there with his size and his experience. I could tell he just wasn't in great shape. But I'm feeling like if they bring Tristan Thompson back, bring Kyrie Irving back, and then have Tristan Thompson coming off the bench, bring Kyrie Irving back with LeBron James. And then you already got Reeves, you already got Hachimura. That right there can do some stuff. Lonnie Walker, I think he'll be okay coming off the bench. He needs to work on his shot a little bit more to be consistent. But, you know, I think they'll be all right. I think LeBron playing one more year, just one more year. The story of him and his son playing, I don't think that's, you know, we've seen this in baseball. The Barry Bonds, the Griffies did it. The Bonds did it. You know, I mean, what's it like having your old 40-year-old dad playing with you? You just coming into the league. I am not really with the let me play with my son thing. You know, it's like if I was LeBron, by the time my son came into the league, I'd probably just go ahead and let him have that. They'll probably go ahead and let him have that. It's his time. Let him do what he's going to do. LeBron don't have anything else to prove by waiting around. But I understand, you know, he said it'd be nice if me and my son could play together or something to that effect. And that's cool, you know, but I don't think that in itself is what's going to keep LeBron playing. I think the opportunity to win one more championship. I think he has three or four. Then they got one with the Lakers. One with Cleveland and two with Miami, if I'm correct. So that's four. And if he got three with Miami, that'll make it five. But I think he had two in Miami. So I think he has five. I think he has four championships pushing at five. But I think it's going to be four. He probably just wants that fifth ring. He probably just wants that fifth ring. And probably to say that, you know, maybe because of the Golden State Warriors got four, he got four. Maybe he wants to just say, hey, when I leave, I'm going to have five. Steph Curry will probably just have four. So it could be something like that. I don't know what motivates LeBron James to stay. I'm just, like I said, I'm just a pro armchair quarterback, just getting on this platform, you know, as an entertainer, trying to entertain everybody within their day. You know, so we'll see what happens. I'm going to try to do a live call in, see if I can get my man DC on the line. He may be available. He may not be. I don't know if he got my text or not. But we're going to try to do a live call in. I'm usually not successful at doing these. But let's see if I can get it done this morning. Bear with me, people. I'm doing a live call in. I don't have my engineers. I don't have my engineers on air with me because no one wants the job. So I have to do all this engineering stuff like this myself. But we'll make it work. This is the Stogies and Bit Radio Show for those of you just tuning in. And I am your host with Miro Ferrand, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it live in the early morning, trying to do a live call in to my number one sports contributor, D.C. See if we can get him on the air.
We're sorry. Your call did not go through. Will you please try your call again?
Okay. We'll try it again.
We're sorry. Your call did not go through. Will you please try your call again?
Okay. Well, sorry about that, people. I couldn't get him on the air. Maybe he blocked my call. Maybe he blocked my call. Anyway, let's get off into some scores and everything like that. We got what we got here. Again, everybody already know that the Denver Nuggets advanced to their first NBA Finals. They won the West. They won the Western Conference Finals by defeating the Los Angeles Lakers 113-111 on a last-minute defensive play. Nikola Jokic, 30 points, 14 rebounds, 13 assists. LeBron James, 40 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. So he pretty much played very close to a younger Nikola Jokic's level. So the Denver Nuggets sent the Lakers home. They'll be advancing to their first conference finals. Let's go off into some the playoff schedule for tonight. Let's see here. Okay, for tonight we're going to have the Boston at Miami, 5:30 p.m. Boston at Miami, 5:30 p.m. So that'll be going on tonight. Boston at Miami, 5:30 p.m. We're going to see if the Boston Celtics can force another game, extend the series, or if Miami is going to come out smelling blood and go ahead on and get these guys out the way so they can get some rest and get ready for Jokic and Jamal Murray. So we'll see what's going to happen with that. Let's get off into some baseball scores real quick. Actually, let's get off into my NHL, my hockey scores, see where we at with that, because I think Florida beat the Hurricanes last night. We're going to go to Monday. Let's see here. All right. Panthers, winners, 1-0 over the Hurricanes. East final in the NHL, game 3, Florida leads the series 3-0. Florida leads series 3-0. So like I was saying yesterday, the NHL National Hockey League playoff series are going just like the NBA. These teams jumping up 3-0. So right now the Panthers are up 3-0, and the Hurricanes are facing elimination if they don't get their stuff together. It looks like the Panthers will be going to the NHL finals. And they'll win the East if they win one more game. Let's see what we got on tonight. And that'll be my Dallas Stars. Let me see. I think they're down 2-0. My Dallas Stars against the Golden Knights. That's going to be going down tonight, 5 o'clock p.m. East Pacific, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And right now, that's the West Final, game 3. Vegas Knights lead the series 2-0. Vegas Knights. Golden Knights lead the series 2-0 over my Dallas Stars. Stars, shouting out from California. Come on, Dallas, let's go. Hopefully, you guys get your stuff together and get a win in here and make this thing 2-1, because if you go down 3-0, you probably won't make it to the finals. I got to do some research on the National Hockey League. When teams go down 3-0, what's the likelihood of them making it out of a 3-0 hole? I got to do some research on my hockey show. I found this hockey show that I watch on the monitor, and I'm going to try to see if what they say about that today, because I need to see if Dallas is going to win this game tonight. So that's going down tonight, 5 o'clock p.m., Golden Knights versus the Stars. West Final Game 3, and Vegas is leading the series 2-0. That's what we got in hockey. What else you got here? We get off into my baseball scores. I think my San Diego Padres think we're playing the Washington Nationals tonight. I always say Washington Nationals for that 1 year, that 1 year that they messed up their uniforms, if anybody remembers that. All right, let me go to my scores from yesterday. Bear with me, people. I'm just working my monitor. Like I said, I don't have an engineer, so I have to do all this stuff myself. Nobody wants to come and engineer for me. So I'm the host, the producer, the engineer. I'm everything. I'm the news. I'm everything. All right. Who we got? We got scores from yesterday. We got Guardians winners 3-0 over the White Sox. Cleveland Guardians winners 3-0 over the White Sox. We have who else we got? We got the Pittsburgh Pirates, winners 6-4 over the Texas Rangers. Pittsburgh Pirates, winners 6-4 over the Texas Rangers. We got Arizona Diamondbacks, winners 6-3 over the Philadelphia Phillies. Again, Arizona Diamondbacks, winners 6-3 over the Philadelphia Phillies. What we got here, we got Cincinnati Reds, winners 6-5 over the St. Louis Cardinals. Cincinnati Reds, winners 6-5 over the St. Louis Cardinals. We got Tampa Bay Rays, winners 6-4 over the Toronto Blue Jays. Tampa Bay Rays, winners 6-4 over the Toronto Blue Jays. We have Los Angeles Dodgers, winners 8-6 over the Atlanta Braves. Los Angeles Dodgers, winners 8-6 over the Atlanta Braves. Who else we got here? We got the Detroit Tigers, winners 8-5 over the Kansas City Royals. Detroit Tigers, winners 8-5 over the Kansas City Royals. We got the Houston Astros, winners 12-2 over the Milwaukee Brewers. Houston Astros, winners 12-2 over the Milwaukee Brewers. We have the San Francisco Giants, winners 4-1 over the Minnesota Twins. San Francisco Giants, winners 4-1 over the Minnesota Twins. We have the Florida Marlins fell to the Colorado Rockies 5-3. Colorado Rockies, winners 5-3 over the Florida Marlins. Again, Colorado Rockies, winners 5-3 over the Florida Marlins. We have the Anaheim Angels, winners 2-1 over the Boston Red Sox. Anaheim Angels winners 2-1 over the Boston Red Sox. And we have the Seattle Mariners winners 11-2 over the Oakland A's. Seattle Mariners winners 11-2 over the Oakland A's. And if you don't know it, the Oakland A's are getting ready to gear up to go and move to Las Vegas in by the year 2027, I believe. They're building a stadium out there. So they'll be ready to go to their new home in Las Vegas in 2027. Sorry to all the Bay Area fans that that's happening. What else we got we want to get off into? We want to get off into some NCAA men's and women's sports, which is going to be Baseball World Series. And let's see here. Let's go to the women's first. See what the women's are doing, the women are doing in their World Series bracket. College, we're going to be building out some college scores. Well, they don't look like they're kicking back up until Thursday, so I don't have any scores. The scores I got for the schedule for Thursday is I got number 14, Georgia, taking on number 3, Florida State. So for the Women's College World Series, we got number 14, Georgia. They'll be taking on number 3, Florida State. That'll be on Thursday. And then we got Oregon, unranked Oregon, taking on number 6, Oklahoma State. Unranked Oregon taking on number 6, Oklahoma State. That'll be going down on Thursday. And we'll do Friday. We'll do Friday as well. We got some games on Friday. Friday they'll have Stanford against Duke. Friday, Stanford against Duke. Clemson against Oklahoma. Texas against Tennessee. Oklahoma State against Oregon. I guess they're going to play two games. Florida State against Georgia, that'll be another game they're playing. Northwestern against Alabama. San Diego State will play Utah. Let's go Aztecs. And my Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajun women will be playing against Washington Huskies. Louisiana against Washington. So I'll be definitely looking at the San Diego State and Utah scores and then the Louisiana against Washington scores. Because everybody knows if it's Louisiana or San Diego currently or in the past, I'm all with it. So that's up till Friday. I'm not going to go too much up into Saturday or Sunday, but that's what's going on Friday. So I gave you Thursday and Friday for the Women's College World Series in softball. And let's go to the guys' bracket. Let's see what they got. See what they got going on. Just bear with me. I'm trying to get their bracket up, their scores. For college baseball. So just to bear with me, people. I'm just trying to pull up the scores and everything. Looks like where we at. Currently, we got some teams playing right now. We got top of the 6th, Georgia and South Carolina going in. South Carolina currently up 5-0 on the Georgia Bulldogs. So South Carolina Gamecocks are currently up 5-0 over the Georgia Bulldogs in men's College World Series in baseball, NCAA baseball for the men. And then we also have in bottom of the third, we got the Virginia Tech Hokies. They're up 3-2 on the Boston College Eagles. Virginia Tech Hokies up 3-2 over the Boston College Eagles. So that was currently in the bottom of the third, and that's scores for right now today. And later today we'll have Cincinnati against UCF. We have Liberty against Lipscomb. We'll have Michigan against Iowa. We'll have Richmond against St. Louis. We'll have South Florida against East Carolina. We'll have Arizona against Arizona State. We'll have Texas A&M against Tennessee. We'll have Jacksonville against Florida Gulf Coast. We'll have Belmont against UIC. We'll have Georgia Tech against North Carolina. We'll have Illinois against Indiana. We'll have Rhode Island against Davidson. We'll have Tulane against Houston. We'll have Cal Baptist against Abilene Christian. We'll have Old Dominion against James Madison. We'll have UCLA against USC. We'll have Alabama against Kentucky. We'll have Valparaiso against Murray State. We'll have North Carolina State against Duke. We'll have Eastern Kentucky against Stetson. We'll have Michigan State against Maryland. I had to get my number one sports contributor, D.C., to talk about that. Maryland against Michigan State in baseball, college baseball, World Series. We'll have Texas A&M Corpus Christi against McNeese. Let's go, McNeese. Anything in Louisiana, y'all know I love if you follow the show. We'll have UT Rio Grande Valley against UT Arlington. We'll have George Mason against Dayton. We'll have Memphis against Wichita State. Georgia Southern against Georgia State. And the last two games on the schedule, we'll have Missouri against Auburn, and we'll have California against Oregon. All right. So that's what we got for men's college baseball. We'll have tomorrow. We'll have some the results of that on tomorrow. But let me go over tomorrow's scores as well. Let me just check to see if I got anybody waiting in queue to talk. I don't currently have anybody waiting in queue to talk, so I can go over here and check my men's scores. And I want to apologize to the sports community because I was under the impression that we didn't have anybody representing the SWAC or the MEAC in college baseball for the College World Series, but that's not true. Maybe they just started their tournament late or something, or maybe I just missed it, but we do have Florida A&M and Texas Southern playing for the SWAC tournament. So whoever wins their division, I'm assuming, are going to be playing in the College World Series. I think right now they're doing super regionals or whatever. But we'll see how it all goes. But we do have some information that our SWAC conference is playing and got scores and got a tournament going on. So Florida A&M and Texas Southern for the SWAC tournament. Then we have, and that'll be going on tomorrow. Then we, if I'm correct, that'll be going on tomorrow. Let me make sure. That'll be Wednesday, May 24th. We have Florida A&M and Texas Southern for the SWAC tournament in college baseball. And we got Evansville and Southern Illinois. They'll be going at it tomorrow. Kansas State and TCU will be going at it tomorrow. Jacksonville and Liberty will be going at it tomorrow. Appalachian State and Troy will be going at it tomorrow. Southern Indiana will be playing Eastern Illinois. Louisiana Tech, go Bulldogs. Louisiana Tech will be playing Charlotte tomorrow. And we have LSU will be playing. Ranked number five, LSU will be playing. Go Tigers. Like you said, everybody know I love anything Louisiana and San Diego. So LSU's opponent will be determined. So I guess they'll figure out, because that's SEC tournament second round, they'll figure out who they'll be playing. Pittsburgh and Notre Dame will be playing. Maryland Eastern Shore and Fairleigh Dickerson will be playing. Now, Maryland Eastern Shore, that's a That's a MEAC school, a historical black college, Maryland Eastern Shore. That's a MEAC school. So I'm happy to see that my SWAC and MEAC schools are playing, because I was looking at some stuff and I didn't see anything on them. I was like, well, we not playing in the getting bids for the College World Series in baseball. I know I've seen a couple teams for the in the women's softball brackets, but I didn't see anything for the men. But I'm glad to see this. So Maryland Eastern Shore will be playing in the NEC tournament against Fairleigh Dickinson. And I got to do some double checking on that, because Maryland Eastern Shore, that's normally a MEAC team, but it looked like the baseball team might have joined up with the NEC. Either way it goes, they're still a black college, and I like to support my black colleges. We have Manhattan against Canisius. Manhattan against Canisius tomorrow. We got St. Joseph will be playing someone out of the Atlantic 10 tournament. That's to be determined. Then we got in the SWAC tournament two other historical black colleges. Bethune-Cookman will be taking on Southern tomorrow. Bethune-Cookman will be taking on Southern tomorrow in the SWAC tournament. And then we got the Delaware Blue Hens. That's where President Joe Biden went to school at, for the Delaware Blue Hens. So we got Delaware and Charleston to be playing tomorrow. Hopefully, just because out of respect for the President Joe Biden, for the President of the United States, I'm hoping Delaware will win that one in advance, because that's where Joe Biden went to school at. We have Northwestern State will be playing Incarnate Word. Go Word. Northwestern against Incarnate Word. We got Seattle University against Utah Valley. We got Milwaukee against Youngstown State. We got Western Michigan against Kent State. We have, in the Missouri Valley Tournament, we got to see who comes out of there. That'll be to be determined out of the Missouri Valley Tournament. We have UMass Lowell against Bryant. UMass Lowell against Bryant in the American East Tournament. We got Arizona and Oregon State in the Pac-12 Tournament. Arizona and Oregon State will be going at it tomorrow. Omaha and Oral Roberts will be going at it tomorrow in the Summit League Tournament. Omaha and Oral Roberts. And then we got, who else we got? We got to be determined against number 16 Southern Miss in the Sun Belt Tournament. So Southern Miss ranked number 16 in the Sun Belt Tournament. They are awaiting an opponent. So Southern Miss will find out who they'll be playing tomorrow. SIU Edwardsville will be playing Tennessee Tech. SIU Edwardsville will be playing Tennessee Tech in the Ohio Valley Tournament. Middle Tennessee will be playing University of Texas San Antonio. Middle Tennessee against University of Texas San Antonio. Then we have Kansas will be playing Texas, and we're shelling out college baseball matchups, people, college baseball, NCAA matchups. Bear with me, it's a lot of games. And we have Arkansas, number 4, Arkansas out of the SEC tournament, second round will be playing to be determined. Then we got number 9, UConn will be taking on Georgetown. We got Jacksonville State will be playing Stetson. We got Virginia against Georgia Tech. Virginia against Georgia Tech. In the SWAC tournament, again, we'll have Prairie View A&M against Alabama State in the SWAC tournament, historical black colleges. Prairie View A&M will be taking on Alabama State. The WAC tournament is to be determined. We don't know who's going to be playing in the WAC tournament. That's to be determined. Also to be determined, the American Athletic Tournament to be determined. We'll find out tomorrow. Rutgers against Nebraska tomorrow. Long Island University against Sacred Heart. The Citadel against VMI, Virginia Military Institute. That's the Southern Conference Tournament. The Citadel will be taking on VMI. Shout out to my military program. Niagara will be taking on Quinnipiac. Niagara against Quinnipiac. And we got the Atlantic 10 Tournament to be determined. Two teams out the Atlantic 10 Tournament. That's to be determined. Some of these people probably having weather delays. You never know. Or they hadn't started up yet. Then we got New Orleans taking on Lamar. New Orleans taking on Lamar. Let's go, New Orleans. We got William and Mary taking on Northeastern. William and Mary taking on Northeastern. We got Indiana State taking playing to be determined in the Missouri Valley Tournament. Indiana State will be playing somebody to be determined tomorrow. Northern Kentucky against Purdue Fort Wayne. Northern Kentucky against Purdue Fort Wayne. All right, who else we got here? Let me go back to my monitor and see if I got anybody waiting in the queue. I don't, so I'm going to continue on with my scores. So I know people around the world want to know who's doing what in U.S. sports. We got all kind of military people around the world that want to know their scores without having to log in. So if you tune in to my show, I try to have these scores ready for you. We got New Jersey Institute of Technology taking on Binghamton. Shout out Binghamton. That's one of the my favorite talk show hosts. Team on the monitor. If you watch the monitor a lot, you'll know what talks or hosts I'm talking about when it comes down to Binghamton. We got Coastal Carolina in the Sun Belt Tournament. They'll be their opponent will be determined. Southeast Missouri State out of the Ohio Valley Tournament. Their opponent will be determined. I guess some teams playing today. We'll find out today or tomorrow, who these teams, when it says to be determined, who they're going to be playing. We got Rice against Dallas Baptist. Rice against Dallas Baptist, that's in the Conference USA tournament. We got Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, UCLA and Washington. We got Florida in the SEC tournament. They'll be playing a to-be-determined opponent. We got Grambling and Jackson State in the SWAC tournament. Grambling will be taking on Jackson State. Let's go Grambling Tigers. HBCU Pride. Grambling State against Jackson State in the SWAC tournament. They'll be playing tomorrow. Another black college matchup. Ball State against Central Michigan. Gonzaga against Santa Clara. Seton Hall against Xavier. Seton Hall against Xavier. Then we got American Athletic Tournament to be determined. And we got Clemson against Virginia Tech, Austin Peay against Eastern Kentucky, and we got the NEC tournament to be determined. Matchup, and Nichols will be in a to be determined matchup in the Southland Conference. In the Southland Conference tournament, Nichols will be taking on somebody that'll be determined in the Southland Conference. Shout out to the Southland Conference. That's they used to be the conference that represented my hometown, which is UL Monroe. At that time, there was Northeast Louisiana University, NLU, but now they are UL Monroe, and they're playing in the Sun Belt now. All right, I'm going to have to take a break on some of my scores and everything. I got the most of them, but I'll try to finish them up in a minute. But I got my man, DC, out of Maryland, chiming in. I want to bring him in. DC, before I come to you, I just want to kind of like hit what I want to talk about. They're talking about should LeBron retire, and if he don't retire, if Kyrie Irving comes in, what does he add to this roster? We'll talk about that from last night. We'll talk about the predictions of the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat tonight. Is Jimmy Butler going to get these guys out tonight? Good morning, sir. How you doing? Thanks for coming into the show.
Now, thanks for having me. So first things first, regarding LeBron, he ain't going nowhere. You know, you just lost. You got swept. You're embarrassed. You're upset. You're disappointed. You want to be guarded what you say in front of the media. You know, you and your team is going to go back. And, you know, he was upset. I know he was upset about his supporting cast not backing him in some ways. So that's all that was. LeBron ain't going nowhere. Remember, LeBron wants to play with his son, you know. And so he's got to give his son a chance to get to the league. So he ain't going nowhere.
Okay. Does adding Kyrie Irving to the mix of that roster, how does that shake things up? Because the way I was looking at it is that if they add Kyrie, that's a shooter. They do have a history together. They won a championship together. There'll be a shooter right along with Austin Reed. And I think on the bench, coming off the bench, if Lonnie Walker, if he can get more consistent, they may have something. Then you got Rui Hachimura, go ahead, re-sign him at small forward position. Of course, LeBron at the power. Then AD, of course, at center. And then, like I said, you got Kyrie as your shooting guard, point guard. Am I correct? Am I looking at this right?
If I was the Lakers, I would absolutely run away from Kyrie Irving. You don't.
And why?
Kyrie Irving is an outstanding, talented player. But guess what? The NBA is full of talented players. And I ain't saying that he's not one of the best players as a point guard currently in the league. He is. He's a very good player. Right? But Kyrie brings too much drama. Kyrie doesn't help the locker room. Kyrie, notice how Dallas got worse when Kyrie went there? And check this out. And the head coach of Dallas, Jason Kidd, arguably one of the best point guards in NBA history. So if you got a point guard as a head coach who understands the nuances of the game, you got Luka, who's arguably the best player in the game. I mean, you have to. I'm not even a Luka fan, but I got to give him credit. Dude can ball, and he ain't in the best shape, but he outplays so many people in the game, right? So I say that to say Kyrie didn't do well there. He didn't do well in Brooklyn. You know why? Because he ain't really serious about basketball no more. Kyrie Irving.
Well, to his credit, though, not to interrupt. Hold that thought. But to his credit, when they sold him down south, remember when I told you them boys in Brooklyn, they sold him down south, and they did that to punish him. So when he went to Dallas, he shut his mouth because he wanted to get a max contract from somebody. Kyrie didn't cause no waves. He was an exemplary locker room guy. Didn't cause no problems. You didn't hear nothing about him. He kept his mouth shut.
And they didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, you got a point.
Right, LeBron ain't trying to go to the Western Conference Finals next year. LeBron trying to win a title. Kyrie is not that dude that's going to take you there. I remember that game that when they won against Golden State that year. Kyrie hit a lucky three, but that's it. Kyrie's not that good dude. He's got individual talent, but he's not. He's not a real point guard. He's not a guy that can run the floor. He's not a floor general. He's not a guy that has a high basketball IQ. He just has tremendous talent. Like, dude, he can do some things with that rock. Like, I'm not taking away from his skill set. He can do some things with that rock, okay? But that's not the kind of player the Lakers need. D'Angelo Russell is a very good point guard. And yeah, he got exposed in this series, but be honest, they wouldn't have got by Golden State without D'Angelo Russell.
True.
They wouldn't. Because that dude was
awesome. What's the earliest they can sign Kyrie?
I would avoid that dude, man. Listen, yes, is it plausible they could make some moves? They could take a trade, a draft pick, take a letter. And free up some cap space for some folks and all of that. Mm-hmm, yeah, I wouldn't get that dude, man. He go there, they not gonna win. He was with KD and they got swept in the first round. Like he ain't that dude. He was with KD and didn't do nothing. He was with Luka and ain't do nothing. With Jason Kidd as your coach, right?
Are you aware
with
that he
Jason
was at the game
Kidd
last
coach?
Night?
Yeah,
are you aware
that
he was at the game?
Listen, so was Jack Nicholson, but he ain't going to put no jersey on that shit.
Yeah, I think I saw Michael Douglas
I'm
out there too, but I don't think he's getting signed.
Exactly. That's my point, right? Kim K was probably there, but she ain't going to be – well, she's going to be playing with some balls, but it ain't going to be no basketball.
Yeah,
so
just not that one, though.
Right. But my point is I'm not tripping. Kyrie is got talent, dude. I'm not saying he's not a quality player. I'm saying the Lakers are better with D'Angelo Russell and just adding another piece. Because I'll be honest with you, they need somebody other than AD down low. Because Anthony Davis is soft as tissue paper. Okay? You're not going to go to the finals without a healthy Anthony Davis. And a healthy Anthony Davis is a pipe dream. And And to be quite honest, if AD had balled yesterday, the Lakers would still be in the playoffs. Because LeBron put up good numbers.
Well, let me say this.
Didn't show up.
Let me say this. Let me interject with this here, based on what you just said. I said that earlier before you came on the show. If he'd have put up 40 points right along with or more, they would have won that. They would have advanced. They'd extended the series at least for another game, and it was a toss-up after that. But I'm going to tell you something that I noticed. They had when Christian Thompson came in the game, and I don't know when they signed him. I just seen him the other day on the bench. I'm like, whoa, they got Christian Thompson. But I know he probably had to play his way into some kind of shape to be out there. But what I noticed when he got put in the game, AD, I think they were subbing him in for AD to give AD a blow. And he actually affected the game somewhat, I think, because of his size and his experience. He actually disrupted the game. But if they get him in shape and to get him ready for next season, I think him coming off the bench for AD might be the answer. What do you think?
Talent-wise, yes, Tristan Thompson's solid. He's a very solid player, and he does have a very good basketball IQ. I totally agree. The problem with Tristan Thompson is he got so many off-the-field problems. That dude's a walking soapbox, man, walking soap opera. I mean, he just like Kyrie off the court, man. I agree with you about the talent, right? And he had an effective 10 minutes that he played for them. But dude straight
I'm
up,
I'm talking
man,
about cap space. I get what you're saying, but I'm talking about as far as you can sign him for a league minimum contract right now. You can sign up for a bag of chips and an orange soda.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know why he need to work? Because, you know, he got all these reality TV shows, and when the ratings go down, he need to do something else, right? But Anthony Davis had 21 points. He had 21 points in a game that was an elimination game.
But 10 rebounds and 3 blocks, too, though.
Yeah, okay.
But he needed to put up 20 more points. I agree with you there. He needed 40 points.
Well, to be quite honest, if he had just hit 5 more points, the Lakers would have won.
Yeah, they only lost by what, 2?
Right, they lost by 2. But I'm saying if he had 5 extra points, the Lakers would have won, and they would have put Denver in a position where they would have went for it with, instead of the Lakers getting the ball back with 4 seconds, Denver would have tried to score to extend the game. But Denver could run out the clock because they were already up. And that's what I'm saying. If AD had 5 more points, it would have made a difference. Because he's not that kind of dude. That's what I'm saying. Like, the problem is D'Angelo Russell, while he did not show up, I agree, did not show up, he's a safe player. Now, they need to add some young talent. Right? If I was the Lakers, I'd use my draft pick and use it well. I would get me a young talent. If there's a team, like, I'll tell you, the Indiana Pacers got a kid that I still love, a shooting guard, right? If they pick him up, right, now they got extra outside shooting. That's what they need. They need talent around LeBron. Not these old school veterans that's paid and comfortable and just trying to milk the system to get what they want. Because that's what Kyrie's doing. You're right. He shut up and got out of the media so he could try to trick a team into giving him a guaranteed max deal. Right? You know, he's trying to hustle these folks, man. He ain't that good. I mean, again, talent-wise. But that's not what this is about. This is about winning and doing things that make a difference. Like, you know, remember LeBron, he convinced Kevin Love to come to Cleveland so they could win a title. Kevin Love left Minnesota, went to Cleveland, and then LeBron left Kevin Love hanging. Right? Kevin Love just got traded to Miami at the trade deadline. But Kevin Love was
about to go to the
finals for years. Right? Yeah, and about to go back to the finals. But remember, Kevin Love was pretty pissed off. He was like, man, LeBron, you told me come here. I came, we won a ring, and then you roll out. You leave me stuck here in this bitch, right? I'm saying, if you're the Lakers, you don't want Kyrie, man. I wouldn't get that dude. I wouldn't get that dude,
well,
man. I wouldn't get that dude with your money.
Let me ask you this, you know. In the media, they're saying, you know, the monitors asking the question, is Darvin Ham out of here since he couldn't get him to the finals? My opinion, I say I let him stay because this man took a damn team. He took a damn team that only had really one star and then one half a star in AD, and everybody else was just damn role players wherever they came from. They didn't bring in no stars in at the trade deadline. They just brought in role players. This man took nothing. He managed the Russell Westbrook situation and kept him right around 500 most of the season. Got him a 7-seed play-in tournament, and I think he managed them all the way up to this point. Does he deserve to be fired?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Darvin Ham has got nothing but credibility in the league with the players, and the Lakers don't need to get. They still paying a whole bunch of other coaches money, right? That they done gave guaranteed deals to that they fired. The Lakers don't need to blow that
like
money.
Frank Vogel and who else?
The guy they had before him, because I think he's still on a deal, like the last year or so of his deal. My point is the Lakers don't need to let Ham go. Ham was fine. AD let him down. Like, okay, if the Lakers decide they need a point guard, draft one. Draft a guy that's gonna be like, oh my god, I'm playing with LeBron and AD, and that way LeBron can motivate him and coach him up on the court, right? You know, draft a point guard, right? Because it's cheaper than getting Kyrie, and then you stuck with a contract, right? Fast forward a year. So let's pretend LeBron come back because he is. Now, let's pretend his son play 1 year in college and then some team pick him up. Let's say a team pick LeBron's son up as a second-round pick. And LeBron says, okay, whatever team my son go to, since I have a player option, I'm going to decline my player option and I'm going to come play for whoever pick up my son. So let's say Cleveland, the Cleveland Cavaliers, pick up LeBron James' son. So now LeBron signs veterans minimum deal with Cleveland so he could play alongside his son. And he's back home, right? So Cleveland got Donovan Mitchell, right? They got the other cat at point guard, right? They got the big boys down low, and now they got LeBron and his son back in Cleveland. Now Cleveland is going to be a powerhouse team, right? But if you're the Lakers, you sign Kyrie to a 5-year supermax deal or whatever, right? And now LeBron then left, and you stuck with Kyrie and broke AD, and now you can't move none of them because they make too much money, right? And you don't have no more draft picks because you got rid of your draft pick to save cap spaces and all the clear space and along with a trade. See what I'm saying? Now you the Lakers. You stuck, and the NBA just came out with that new hard cap for the salary cap and all these new rules in a collective bargaining agreement that we're still trying to figure out how it all is going to work.
Well, let me ask you this. Segue over to Joe Mazzulla. Does Joe Mazzulla get the boot, and does he deserve to be fired?
Okay. I'm going to be honest. Joe Mazzulla, in theory, should be fired after, like, this time tomorrow morning, he should be fired. All right?
They gave him a ready-made team, right?
Right. If Miami lose tonight, if Miami won tonight, Joe Mazzulla should be fired before the weekend. All right? I agree with that. But, I would not fire him only because you knew what you was getting when you hired him. What do I mean by that? You knew he didn't have extensive coaching experience. You were trying to get out from Neef Udoku, right? From Ime Udoku, right? And remember, Boston originally said, well, this guy's just going to be the interim. And Ime Udoka is going to have a year suspension, and then we're going to let him back. And then you made the decision, no, we're going to go with this dude. Put yourself in this hole. So now you got to be stuck with dude at least another year because you hired a dude that did not have experience. They could have went with somebody else. They could have had dude to be the interim and went with somebody else. But they took that interim tag off of that dude and made him that man.
But you got to understand. They had the coach Brad Stevens sitting in the stands the whole time. It ain't like it. It's not. I mean, he was the coach. He just moved upstairs, and they hired Udoka. Udoka got bounced, but Brad Stevens was still there.
But Udoka got bounced not because of his coaching skills, but because he was boning one of the VPs.
Oh yeah, I know.
A finance wife. Right, so my
she don't
point
alone.
Is,
yeah.
Right. So my point is you didn't fire him because he wasn't an effective coach. You let him go because he tore up the boardroom, right? And I'm saying the issue here is, but you knew what you was getting when you signed Mazzulla. What you should have did is kept Mazzulla on an interim deal until you saw how he performed in the playoffs as a coach, not regular season. But the playoffs, and they did. They removed the interim tag too early, and now they stuck with what they got. They got to go with this dude another year. Now, if you ask me, what Boston needs to do is get rid of Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is subject to signing. I'm not saying he can. He's all NBA. He made all NBA. But Jaylen Brown is in a position to sign a 5-year, $295 million Supermax deal. There's no way
he
want to
win a championship, man. He ain't trying to play for money.
But that's what? In his contract, he has a provision in his contract that if he made All-NBA this year, he would be eligible for the Supermax deal of 5 years, $295 million, all guaranteed. Right now, they're already paying Jason Tatum the same amount of money. So now you're going to have two players that you're paying almost $600 million to. So
and they can't win the trophy.
What they exactly? And the center is old for Boston. Al Horford. They need a younger big man, right? They need a deeper bench. Williams, the dark skin Williams is tight. The light skin Williams, Jimmy Butler exposed, right? So they need, but you can't rely on Al Horford. He's not going to be good for another couple of years. He's really a role player, just playing with a bunch of young boys, right? So what I'm saying is, if you're Boston, you trade Jaylen Brown, okay, and get you another piece, another two players, and then use your draft pick to get you some younger players, right? And you build around Jason Tatum.
Why is this not working right now? I say it earlier in the show. Let me interject to say this. I say it earlier in the show. The Lakers being down 3-0 look totally different than the Boston Celtics being down 3-0 against the Heat. Why does it look different, and why is this not working with Tatum, Brown, Smart?
And I'm glad you asked, because here's the thing about Smart. Now, I told you going into this playoff series that Boston was a better team and Miami would be lucky to win a game, right? I told you that, and
right.
I told you that on the air, and I meant it, because Boston is a better team than Miami, and Miami should have only been lucky to win a game. However, Boston don't play smart because all they have is Marcus Smart. He's the only, quote, smart player on the court. But his basketball IQ ain't savvy enough to overcome his limited talent, because he's not the swift point guard. Is he a good defender? He is. And part of his defender is because he's a good defender, because he got a good basketball IQ, he anticipates, right? He's a bulldog. I'm not clowning his skill set. I'm saying, well, you already got that on the other side in Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy Butler put up better numbers offensively than Smart, right? And so notice, I think it was game two. Every time Jason Tatum touched the ball, they was doubling him. He was trying to launch threes with a double team. In the fourth quarter, he was trying to do it all by himself. Where was Jaylen Brown? Right? I'm saying that, you know, they don't have nobody with the killer instinct other than Tatum. And Tatum has his nights where he's just not on. Right? And that's why I said, you got to trade Jaylen Brown. While the coach should have picked up on it and told Tatum, pass the ball to Jaylen Brown so he could take the shot, Jaylen Brown is not a Batman. He's a Robin. And why would you pay a Robin 5 years, $295 million? Right?
Well, Brown is more like a Batman. Tatum is like Superman. Brown is Batman on the team. They got a Superman
okay.
and a Batman.
All right, so let's say this. Superman's only weakness is kryptonite. He don't need no other person to help, right? Superman got powers. Batman got a scepter, right? When Batman beats
him,
it's because he pull off something off his utility belt, right?
Right.
Or he press a button on his car. Superman can do it with some tights on, right? So my point is this. You build around Tatum. You trade Jaylen Brown for pieces. And you use your draft to supplement the rest. Because you know you're going to lose Al Horford. Jimmy Butler exposed the light-skinned Williams. The dark-skinned Williams can ball, but he always get hurt, right? He be getting hurt. The dark-skinned Williams that they be having down in the paint, he be getting hurt, right? So you got to get more pieces. You got to give Joe Mazzulla another year because he did well in the regular season, right? He just learned playoff basketball different. You got to give him another chance, right? I don't want to keep him. I think he should be fired because he lost to an 8-seed team and he had a better team and he clearly got out coached. Let me say this.
They in the media on the monitor they're saying that they criticizing him for the last games with a Sunday night. He took the starters out in the fourth quarter, and which led to them the team looking bad by getting beat by 30 because the starters got pulled. Was it a smart move for him to say, you know what, I didn't see the energy. I'm pulling my guys so they don't get hurt. I'm going to let them watch. I'm going to let them rest so we can just basically come back tonight and just basically blow this game out of the water and get back on track. Was he wrong for doing that? Because he's getting a lot of criticism from Magic Johnson to Charles Barkley to President Joe Biden. Go ahead.
No, I don't think he was wrong in that case because while game three, you could argue, is the tipping point, this team wasn't balling for game three. That you shouldn't have had to motivate them for that game. Everybody knows how critical game three is in a series. Game one is critical for the road team because they want to steal one, right? Game three is critical because it changes who has the lead, and game five is critical, right? Because if you win game five, in most cases, you got a chance to win the series. Because think about it, if it's 2-2, and game five is big. If it's 3-1, game five is big because you clinch the series, right? I mean, so we all know the crucial game. So Boston shouldn't have needed to motivate them guys, but they weren't playing well. So I thought what he did was right. Plus, you don't want to risk injury. You don't want to get Jason Tatum hurting his back on a play when you're down by 20 in a game that is clearly out of reach. So I agree with his method, right? However, he pushed it on them to make the right moves for this game. But here's the thing. I think That's why if I was Boston's manager, I wouldn't let him go. You signed a young coach, took the interim tag off early, so you got to ride with it, right? And you got to trade Brown and get you somebody else, right?
I said earlier this week on one of the shows, I think on last week, I said that with these coaches getting fired, it's because these NBA guaranteed contracts are so big, and these owners are looking at these general managers like, check this out. If I'm going to be paying all this money to these guys, and they've been around, you know, getting to the conference championship for the last 2-3 years, and they ain't getting me a chip, they got to go. Guys I'm paying and they ain't even getting me to the conference championship, they got to go. So I'm looking at the reason why I say the NBA is fluid. It's fluid, you know. And I'm just like, these owners are like, I'm tired of paying all these guys all this damn money, and they can't even come up with me a championship or a championship run. How do you feel about that? Am I looking at this wrong?
No, I totally agree with you. And that's why, you know, the NBA, the players went on strike back in 99, came off of the strike to get that TV money. And so that's one of the reasons why their contract is so huge, is because they're getting part of the TV deal. I'm not mad at the players for getting their money. I'm also not mad at the players for getting a guaranteed contract, because you're the one out there playing. You're the one out there that can get injured, and your career could be over. So I'm not hating on the players for that at all. But I am saying,
but what about the owner, though?
That's why players like, I'm going to use Kyrie, for example. That's why you got to check players like that. Like, you got to remember, this is a business. So if I sign you to a contract, I expect you to perform. If you don't perform, then we got to have some issues here, right? That, while we have a guaranteed contract, it should only be guaranteed based on, like, if you get injured or something. It can't be guaranteed just because one day you decide, I don't want to play no more. Right, like that, they gotta when they do their CBA, they gotta put some out clauses in there, because you can't have it where, okay, you don't wanna play no more, and now I'm stuck paying you. So you sign a contract on Monday, you quit on Wednesday, still gotta pay you a 5-year, $300 million deal. Are you crazy? Right?
Ain't no way in hell I would ever signed off on that. I would have signed off on that as ownership groups. I would have never signed that type of stupid collective bargaining agreement, because, like Ben Simmons, hey, you know, I don't feel like I can go this year. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And I still want my $80 million or whatever, right? That's what I'm saying. That's a problem. So I'm saying, but Kyrie and players like him, Ben Simmons and all these guys, they mess it up. Because now the guy behind him is going to catch that flat. And that's why I said, if it were me, I would definitely trade Jaylen Brown, because he should have stepped up, and he hasn't. You've been seeing Tatum play, but you ain't been seeing Brown. See, the playoffs is where legends are made. We talk about Robert Horry back in the day. Robert Horry got how many rings? 5, 7, something
like
that.
You got
something
with Houston and some San Antonio and the Lakers. 3 teams.
Right, but Robert Horry, his career number was he averaged 10 points a game and 3 rebounds or something like that. Career, right? When they mm-hmm. beat the Knicks, the when they first titled him and Sam Cassell, they came off the bench. They was the bench for Houston, and they beat the Knicks, right? My point is mm-hmm. you weren't even starting, right? Why? Because your career is made in the playoffs, right? And you've given guys that look good in the regular season all of this money, but when they get to the playoffs, they swallow up in the moment. That's right. See, so to me, as an owner, right? But Boston made a mistake with this coach. Now, like I said, traditionally, yeah, Boston gets swept tonight, the coach will be fired tomorrow. However, because of Boston backing themselves in the corner with this dude, they got to give him more than 1 year. They got to give him some time. Thing is, and that's why I think what he did was smart. because he showed, hey, I am the coach here. If you're not going to produce, I got to put somebody in that will, even if they're not a better player, right?
So the What's the prediction for tonight?
Honestly, I want Boston to win. I want Boston to win tonight. I want them to avoid a sweep. I just deep down question if they got the heart. They definitely have the talent.
Yeah.
They're the more talented team. But Miami has proven that Miami has beaten three teams that don't have – that has more talent than them because they got more heart. So – and they Miami proved that having a fat contract doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win, right? So, unfortunately, I think Miami is going to sweep them, even though I would love to see Boston avoid a sweep.
All right, man. Well, I want to thank you for coming into the show today. And we got to get up out of here and do a hard wrap up out of here. But, we'll get you back on here, man, and see if your prediction was right sometime within the week, next week or whatever. We'll get you back on here and check on what your prediction, if it came through or not. But thanks for coming on to the show today.
Ain't no problem, man.
All right, have a good day.
You too.
All right. For those of you just tuning in, you're listening to the Stoke and the Bear Radio Show. That was my number one sports contributor, DC, calling in to the show to give us insight on all things NBA this morning. And he does predict that the Boston Celtics will be swept tonight by the Miami Heat. But we shall know in a few hours here. This evening, we'll know by this evening. 5 o'clock, I think 5:30 p.m. Pacific, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll know tonight. After that, what's going to happen. And who will be the dance partner for Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray in the NBA Finals, because the Denver Nuggets took care of business last night against the Los Angeles Lakers, so they're just awaiting to see who their dance partners are going to be for the Finals. Man, the Denver Nuggets is already there in their first NBA Finals appearance. They're just waiting to see who's going to handle business tonight with the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat so they can start game planning. But I want to just remind everybody, be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. Pray for peace around the world. Make sure you get your flu shots and everything like that, COVID boosters. Beware of this monkeypox stuff that's probably still out there looming. So watch your contact. Keep your hand sanitizer on you and keep your mask on you in case you need to wear it in crowded spaces like public transportation and whatnot. And with that being said, today's show was Nugget Said No. And we went through all that stuff in our scores and everything like that. But we're going to have to go ahead and set black and fade all, and we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day. God bless. Bye-bye. Set black. Fade all.